Okay, we're going to learn Daf Lamed Gimel in Masechtas Ksubas, but we are going to start from the last line on the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So, just by way of introduction, what's going on over here is as follows. We had a Mishnah in the beginning of Parak Elu Nairis that says that if a man lives with a girl, who's a Naira obviously, under the, let's call her 12 years old, and the Mishnah, our Mishnah in Masechtas Ksubas says that you have to pay Knas. However, there is a Mishnah in Masechtas Makis that says that in the same cases, in these cases, let's just use Achoisai as your example, that a guy lives with his own sister. In those same cases, the Mishnah in Makkah says that you get Makkahs. So it seems to be a contradiction because we've been going through the sugya of Kam Leib D'Rabbi Minei, and it's unlikely that you're going to get two punishments. So either you're going to get the punishment of paying money, or you're going to get the punishment of getting Makkahs. And so if each of these Mishnayos talk about their respective punishments, so there's a contradiction, you can't get both. So the first teretz the Gemara gave so far was Ula, and Ula's teretz was that the difference is simply whether we're talking about somebody who is your chayiv to pay the knas for. Really, the money overrides. When you're really faced with both of those type of punishments, you give the punishment of the money. So the only way to explain the Mishnah Masechtas Makkos is we're talking about a scenario where there is no money involved. So for example, we're talking about a Yesoima Mefuta, where there is no father, so there's no one else to pay, it's all her, and she agreed to the relationship. So therefore, there's no reason to pay knas. Oh, there's no reason to pay knas. Okay, you're left with the makas. That was Ula's teretz. Rabbi Yochanan, on the other hand, he said just the opposite. He said when you're faced with paying both, when you have a punishment of makas and a punishment of money, the punishment of makas overrides. However, so what would be our case? Our Mishnah has to be talking about where there was no hasra. There was no hasra, and therefore there's no malchus involved, because in order to give the punishment of malchus, you had to have given hasra beforehand. So therefore, that's our case. So in other words, according to the Ula and Rabbi Yochanan have diametrically opposed opinions about which one is the priority and which one overrides the other one. According to Ula, if there's any money involvement whatsoever, we pay the money and not malchus. And Rabbi Yochanan, no. According to Ula, you pay money
because
the money overrides.
Because
it's more, that's what the Torah wants. The Torah says when you have money and Malkus, right, based on, let's say, for example, the classic example is Chayvel. When I patch somebody, so there's an Isser Lav, and there's money involved over here, and the Torah specifically says I want you to pay the money. So we see that according to Ula, the Torah wants to push in the direction of money over Malkus. That's Ula's opinion. Okay, so Ula says money. Rabbi Yochanan says just the opposite. Rabbi Yochanan says when you're faced with money and Malkus, Malkus overrides, and we lean towards the Malkus. Unless you come up with a scenario that there's no Malkus, then you're left with the money. Okay, so they're exactly opposite of each other in terms of which one's more important, the makas or the money. Okay, so with that introduction, now we can jump into the last line on Daf Lamed Beis. V'Rab Yochanan, my time eloy omer ku'ulo. So again, as we said, the two shitas are diametrically opposed, as which one, whether you pick the money over the malchus, or you pick the malchus over the money. So Ula was the one who says that you pick money. So why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan hold to that? So it's very interesting. So he says, Im Kain, so Rabbi Yochanan's answer would be, Im Kain, betalta erbas achoyscho loisigala. Because if so, that you're taking the money and you're not giving the malchus, then you're not going to end up doing what the Torah says not to do. So let's take Tosfos's pshat in this and how to explain the Gemara. It's a very simple, very easy to follow pshat. Tosfos says the problem is you are getting rid of the lav because there is no malchus whatsoever. You know, there are other lavim in the Torah as well. There are other times when you don't give malchus, but over here, if you say you're going to always pay the money, that's the basis of the Gemara's question. If you're always going to pay the money, you're never going to give the lav, and the only tachlis of this lav is to give malchus. And if we're never going to give malchus, according to the way Ula understands, we're not giving malchus; we're always making him pay. So then, there is no purpose in this lav in the Torah. So the Gemara says, one second. If that's your reason for not holding him, then I have a different problem. Okay, so here's where the Gemara starts with the logic. So the same thing is true now, where a person hits somebody and they have to pay damages. There's also a law in the Torah of Lo Yosef, and over there the Torah specifically says they want you to pay money. And we don't have a problem with the fact that, oh, we're not giving Malkus. We don't say, oh, you're being Mevatel the law. And also, Nami, and Adam Zayim, also we have the same problem where there's a money in aspect of it and there's a Malkus aspect of it. We always give the money. And we don't have a problem with the fact that we're going to say, oh, whatever happened to the Lav. Elo. So how are you going to explain why the Torah preferred in those cases the money punishment over the Malkus punishment? Elo Adam Zayim, Efshur L'Kayim, Uhuba Ben Gerusha Ben Chalutza. There is a case where the Adam Zaymimim are about whether or not a koyin is a proper koyin or not. Over there, you're going to have to give malchus because there is no monetary value involved. So we see, as long as there is a case where you are being mekayim the lav and punishing for the lav, so that gives a kiyim to the lav. So it's okay to do money in all other cases. And similarly, choyvul b'chaver inami ikal kiyuma, you can fulfill the lav in the Torah kagon sheyakeu hako sheim b'shava bruto. So you could say that the case was where I gave them, where you hit the person in a way that there is no monetary value here at all. It's less than a shava pruta. So then, and a chanami. So you have the only punishment available is the makas. You will give the makas. So once again, we're fulfilling the law that the Torah said, don't do it. And if you do, you're going to be punished with the case of less than shava pruta. So if that's the way you're going to look at it, so achoy sanami. So you could say the same thing with this. Your whole problem, Rabbi Yochanan's problem was that you never are makayim the law and the malchus. So you could very easily say that we're talking about where she's over the age of 12 and a half. Because everybody agrees over the age of 12 and a half, there is no knas anymore. So then there's no money involved. If there's no money involved, we could now easily give the malchus. So that cannot be the reason why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold of Ula. Because you cannot say that there is no lav. There is a lav. There will be a lav in the proper scenario. So, interesting, the Bach puts in the word Ella, even though we don't have the word Ella in our Gemara, the Bach puts it in, Ella Amalach Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan will tell you, I'll tell you, what the real reason is. Again, it's what? The Ella, the significance of Ella is that whenever the Gemara uses the word Ella, it means that everything we said till now, disregard. And I'm going to give you a whole new teretz. I'm not modifying my teretz. I'm giving you a new teretz. So in legalese, we say it's a novation. It's a new concept. It's not a continuation of the one before. So you don't have to put the two to root them together. It's a whole new thing. Elo Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Haytachas Asher Ina Miboy LeLikida Abayo." And Achanami, because Ula's whole drasha is based on this Gezeir Shava of Tachas to tell us that just like by money by Chayvel we give the money and not the Makas. So too by Knas also we'll give the Knas and not the Makas. So, that works very nicely if the words tachas are available for your drasha. However, according to Abaya, they're not available because we need it for a totally different drasha. We need it for Abaya's drasha. The Amar Abaya, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, again, it's obviously the same Pasuk. The Pasuk says, tachas asher ino, because you paint her. Hai tachas asher ino, michlal de ikaboisha subagam. So, it's in other words, by the fact that the Torah spells out that I'm paying this knas for a particular reason. I'm paying it because there was an inui involved. There was a pain involved. That means that covers only those expenses. But there is boishes subagam, which is a separate expense that you have to pay. Okay, so that's the drasha. Abaya's drasha is the word tachas is not available for, your drasha to tell us that it applies that money all around. It's only coming to tell us that there's additional monetary payments involved over here as well. The boishes of begam. So now Ula doesn't disagree with that concept. So how does Ula know this? Well, Ula nafkalemi de Rava. He understands this concept that there's additional payments from Rava's drasha. Amar Rava, Amar Kra. The pasuk says, "V'nosan ha'ish ha'shoichev ima la'avi ha'nayro chamishim kesef." Once again, the pasuk explains why I am paying the money. It's true that I'm paying the money to the father, but it says hanos shchiva because it says v'nosan ha'ish. That's the way the Gemara, the Torah rather, describes what the thing he did was and what he's paying for. So we understand Hanah Shchiva Chamishim, the Hanah of the Shchiva, the fact that he was with her, that is what is Mechayev you 50. Mechlal the Ikah Boishes Ubegam. Once again, there are other elements and other aspects of the payment, and those will be separate payments. So both Ula and Abaya come to the same conclusion that besides the Knas, there are also the classic Nezek type of payments that you have to pay. So but the only problem is that according to Abaya, which is followed by Rabbi Yochanan, that we need the drasha of Tachas to get you there. So now the word Tachas is not available, and since it's not available, Rabbi Yochanan is not able to come to the same conclusion as Ula, that every time there's monetary payments, the payment of money overrides. Rabbi Eliezer, Omer, Eidim Zoymim Mamayna Mashalim Amilke Loi Loki. So Rabbi Eliezer agrees with Ula that again, by Eidim Zoymim you're going to pay money and you're not going to give Malkus, but it gives for a different reason. Mishom, the Lav B'nei Asroninu, a very technical reason, is because you can't give Hasra. So in order to be able to, it's the same logic as Rabbi Yochanan, that we're talking about a situation where there's no Hasra. Anytime there's no Hasra, obviously you can't give Malkus. So therefore, he says, Eidim Zaymim is always a scenario where you can't give Hasra. Okay? So therefore, we're going to end up paying. So in other words, it's not a good proof that you really are you have two punishments available. You have Malkus and Mummy, and you choose money. The reason over here you're giving money, you're punishing with money, is because the other Malkus is not available. Because you didn't give Hasra. So there's no, you're not picking one over the other. The other one is not available. There is no Malkus. And what's the right? Omar Rava, Teda, I'll prove it to you. Teda, I'll prove to you, Nisri Bahu Amos. When exactly would you give Hasra to Eidim Zaymimim? Nisri Bahu Me Kara, to give them Hasra earlier, as Rashi explains the day before, Amri Itchalin. They'll say, well, we forgot. So Hasra always, as we know, again, it's not our sugya over here, but the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin and Makas that the Hasra always has to be immediately before the act. So to do it too early doesn't count. Nisibrahu b'shas maiso. If you're going to scream at them, don't do it while they're actually testifying itself. Pirshiva loy misadi. Then people are going to just never give testimony because every time I open my mouth in court, somebody's screaming and threatening me. It's like, okay, that's not worth it. So no one will ever, we don't want to encourage that. So we can't give Hasra at that moment. Nisr behulib soif. And if you say, okay, fine, I'll give you the Hasra after you gave your testimony, my dahave have. It's too late. It's too late. And the way Rashi learns is that we're talking about after Tachkadei Dibur, so then it's I can't go back on what I said anyway. So what's the point of giving me the Hasra now? So there is no moment when I can give Hasra. That is Rabbi Eliezer's logic. His logic is that Hasra is not available. It's not possible in this case to give Hasra. Memelo, we cannot give Malkus. So if there's no Malkus involved, there's only money. So of course we're going to give him the punishment of money. There's only money involved. Okay, but let's see if that's really true. Is it really impossible to give Hasra? So Maskifla Abaya. So Abaya asked, remember, because it was Rava's drasha, so of course Abaya is the one asking the question. V'nisru b'hu tekedei dibur. Why don't we just, you assumed that we'll give the Hasra when it's too late. I'll give the Hasra as they finish talking, I'll give them right away. It'll all be considered. And as Tosis is Masber, as long as we're continuing to talk, and there's no break in the talking, so you finish talking, and I start talking, and you start talking, as long as we're continuous one after the other, then it's all considered one Eidos. And now that you said your Eidos, so I didn't threaten you, and now I'm telling you, giving you the Hasra, so why not? Why can't I back off right now? It's not too late to back off, because it's Tachkadei Dibur. That's one question. Maskev Rav Acha Bereda Rav Iko. He asks another question. So let's actually give the Hasra a little bit earlier. You're out. Oh, it's too late. It's too far in advance. They're not going to remember. They're going to forget. Venirmas Bahura Muzi. So he says, okay, fine, no problem. I'll remind you as you're giving. I'm not going to threaten you while you're giving your Eidus. Your Eidus will be clean. But I'm just going to, you know, keep you aware of the fact that I already warned you not to do this. So again, it is possible to give them Hasra. So, therefore, we're back to our original kasha, which is, so since it's possible to give Asra, that means there should be Malkus over here. So, Hadar Amar Abaya, Lav, Milsehida Amri. So he says, no, what I was saying is really not true. Isal Gadaitach, Edim Zemimim Srichin Hasra. The problem is that Edim Zemimim never need. The concept of Hasra doesn't apply over here. Ki loy masrim bahu, loy katlinaluhu. So what? So if we don't give the, Edim Zemimim the Hasra that they were not supposed to testify, so then what? We're not going to give them a punishment at all? We're not going to punish them? The Edom Zomimim themselves didn't warn the innocent guy that they were trying to testify about. They set him up, and he didn't get a proper warning. He was never warned. And now they need Asra, then we wouldn't be giving them the punishment that's similar to what they were giving the other guy. When they came into aid, he didn't get Asra. There was no Asra. The original guy was innocent. The original guy didn't do anything wrong. All of a sudden, two aides pull him into Besdin and say, hey, we saw Reuven kill somebody. We know factually that that's not true, because they're Edom Zomimim. We know, so these guys are making up something. So what? So they were allowed to put Reuven on the stand. They were allowed to kill Reuven without Asra, but all of a sudden, the Edom, they need Asra. That's not fair. That's not Kasher Zomim. So therefore, the Torah understands that this is a situation where you don't need Asra, because that is the way it's going to work. The same way they were testifying without giving the person they're testifying about a warning, so too we're going to punish them without giving them azim. Well, Abaya is right. So finish Abaya's sentence. Habayinava sisim lekasher zomam la sois laachiv veleka. If we would require hasra on the edim, then we would never be able to fulfill to do exactly what they were trying to do to somebody else, because somebody else, the other guy who they were testifying about, he didn't have hasra. So that in order for it to be parallel, to be exact, he also doesn't deserve hasra. In any event, so it comes out according to Abaya, he also agrees to the concept that there is no Hasra. But not because there's a technical reason I have no chance. The reason why they don't get Hasra is because they don't deserve Hasra. That's not the way the Torah expected this to play out. There is no Hasra involved by Edom Zomimim, because that's not what they were trying to do for somebody else. Okay. That's a bias pshat. But again, he agrees in the concept that there is no hasra, and therefore, since there is no hasra, there is not going to be malchus. However, maskef la Rav Sama v'reid Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Sama now asks, Elameata ben Grusha ben Chalutza delav mikasher zaman kamis rabbe liboy hasra. So there are places where we do give malchus by Edom Zomim, but the classic example is the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, right? We give them the Edom Zomim Malkus, because there is no other real way to punish them. And over there, so once again, we're giving them Malkus, and it's not learnt out of the drasha of Kasher Zomim. So Abaya's whole logic was that the reason why we can't give them Hasra is because it's not fair. It's not the same. But over here, because the pasuk says Kasher Zomim, it has to be the same. But over here, the notion that we're giving Malkus for the testimony of Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, that's not learned out of Kasher Zomim. So therefore, they should have Hasra in that case. In order to be able to give them Malkus, I should require Hasra, because they're not getting the same punishment that they were trying to punish the victim anyway.
If they're convicted.
So over there, so then in that case, that should be an exception to the rule that over there you should need Hasra in order to be able to punish the Edom Zaymimim with Malkus. So the Gemara says, no, okay, you're right in logic. However, Amar Kro Mishpat Echad Yia Lachem. The Torah itself says that when it comes to punishing the Edom Zaymimim, they all get the same type of punishment. And we darshan that to mean, for our case, Mishpat Hashava Lekulchem. It has to be a judgment. We're judging them in a way that's similar to everybody. And the similarity over here is, just like 99% of the cases are not going to get Hasra, so too this case of Ben Grusha and Ben Chalutza also will not get Hasra. Okay, so it comes out that according to this, your whole Svara was, your whole proof, or rather what Ula originally wanted to use, Edom Zaymimim, as a proof, that we see we pay money over Malkus, it really is not a proof anymore. Because the reason why you're getting money over here is because there is no Malkus. Because you're not giving Hasra. And we just went through this whole Shak Levitai was to prove why exactly either you can't, for a technical reason you can't, or because it's not fair. Whatever the reason is, but at the end of the day, they're not getting Hasra. And they're not getting Hasra. So of course, therefore, you can't punish them with the classic Malkus. If there's no Malkus, then all you're left with is the money. So of course, there's the money punishment, there's no reason not to give them. So it's not one over the other, it's just money. Okay, that was in the sugya of Edom Zaymimim. Now the Gemara continues. Rav Shisha Bereder, Rav Idi Amar Chayva B'Chaver Nami M'Mayna Mishal Milka Loi Loki Mehocha. So again, he's going again with the concept that when a person there's a chavola, so there's an alav in the Torah of Yosef Pen Lo Yosef, that you're not allowed to give, not allowed to hit a person more than he deserves, even Bezdin. And still the Torah says that you have to pay money when you hit somebody. But he learns it out of a different drasha. Because he learns it out of, I just told you the original drasha of Yosef Pen Yosef. Or Lo Yosef. So the Gemara says, but he learns it out of Chi Yinotzu Anoshim V'Nogfu Isha Hara. This is a pasuk in the Torah, that if the two people are fighting and they ended up, instead of punching each other, one of them punches a woman standing on the side. The Yasu Yelodeh, and her children come out. And over there, the pasuk says, in Lo Yosoin, if she doesn't end up dying, if you don't have a Chi of Misa involved, you're going to have to pay money. Okay, now, what are we discussing? V'amir Rebbe Lozer, Rebbe Lozer says, B'mitzvah shebemitzah hakosav medaber. We're talking about where that the situation over here was that we're going to be mechayev somebody misa. As Rashi explains, we're going according to the Mandi Omar. What happened was the two guys who were fighting are literally trying to kill each other. And therefore there is a miso aspect involved over here. And we're going according to the Mandi Omar that holds miskaven lezev, ahara gezeh is chayev. Okay, it's a machlokes whether or not we hold of that shito at all. Okay, fine, but we're going over here, we're saying that he was trying to kill Reuven and he ended up killing this woman. So, Enochanami, you're going to be chayiv. Okay, the chsiv, as the pasuk says, how do we know that we're talking about a situation of chiyiv miso? As the pasuk itself says, vim osan yeh. If there will be an osoin, v'nosata nefesh tachas nefesh. The pasuk itself says that if she ends up dying, we're going to have to kill the person. Okay, so now that would only be true. That would only be true, obviously, if he was trying to kill in the first place. If he were never trying to kill somebody in the first place, then it would all be an oinus, and there would obviously be no level of chi of miso. Fine. Now, remember, in all of these cases, we're talking about that you ultimately have to pay money. Now, hey chi dummy. Now, what would be our case over here that we're saying that there's a possibility of a chi of misa? If there was no hasra here whatsoever, they never told anybody don't hit each other. So am I miktal? Why would you kill anybody? Again, somebody, especially corporal punishment, we would never punish somebody in Bezdin without a proper hasra. Elapshito da asrobe. So there must have been a hasra. Okay, now what would be the hasra? If we're talking about that we wanted to possibly kill the person, had he carried through with his original intention and he killed the person, we'd be giving him miso. So the hasra that you gave him was don't kill. Okay, so now we're being mechadish a new shita that says that when I warn you not to do something because there's a really bad consequence, that encapsulates and includes the hasra, don't do it because there might be a lesser severe consequence to it also. That's what the word musul ledavar achomer. If I warn you not to do something really bad, have a musul ledavar akal, that includes the warning not to do the lesser bad thing as well. Okay, in other words, we're saying that when I give you hasra, My warning to you always has to be the most extreme and the most severe punishment. And that includes everything in the list from most severe to least severe. Okay, so that means I gave a hasra. The Omer Rachmana lo yasan. Onesh, onesh. And the Torah says that if the person does not end up dying, so they did not end up accomplishing what you warned them not to do, that the most severe thing, still the Torah says, because there was no death involved, onesh yonesh, that you end up punishing the person, and you give malchus. So we see that, so this is all akasha. This is akasha on, we have to be talking about the fact that there was asra, and there was asra, and the asra that you gave, even though the asra was for misa, the asra you gave did include the asra for makas. And ultimately, what the Torah itself says,
isn't money?
Yes, because the Torah says, if there is no accident, meaning nobody dies, anesh yanesh, they get punished, and they get punished. They get punished by paying for the value of the children. So we see that ultimately the Torah is saying, even though this case was a case where you gave hasra, still the Torah wants you to pay money. So, and again, nobody died here, so obviously there's no death penalty involved. And there, but what would have been involved, because you did warn them, you would have, if you carried through, given them makis for doing something they weren't allowed to do. And still the Torah says, no, we don't give the makis, instead we give the money. So that's your proof that when you have money and makis involved, we pick the money punishment over the makis punishment. Okay, so that was very good. That goes according to Rav Shisha Berei de Ravidi. He also holds that you pay money. However, the Gemara now asks, Maskif la Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi asked, again, in order to come to this drasha, we had to have a couple of assumptions over here. We had to assume that we're talking about Misa, and we also had to assume that the Hasra for the Misa includes the Hasra for Makas. So Maskif la Rav Ashi, who says? You're assuming that if I warn you that I picked the most severe thing, that means that the instigator understood that he shouldn't do everything from all the bad to all the good, like from worst to least worst. Who says that hasra works for something less severe? Dilma loy havi. Who says, right? When you warn me, don't do this because I can kill you, I was like, oh, okay, for killing, I'm not going to do it. But who says I understood that if I do lesser, I'm going to get punished lesser? It's either all or nothing. Maybe that's the way it is. Imtim Soloimer Have. And now if you want to say, okay, we're going to say, listen, in Hilchus Hasra, the Hasra has to be, that works, even though it's not perfect. The Hasra for more includes less. So, Imtim Soloimer Have, Mimai de Miso Chamura. So the Gemara has a very interesting technical question. Who says that the Misa is the worst of the punishments that you could warn them about? You're assuming that death is the most severe. And therefore, when I warn you, I have to warn you about Misa, which is the most severe. Who says that's true? Lama Gimel Lama Beis, now the Gemara on the top says, Dilma Malkus Chomer. Maybe the most severe punishment would have been giving Malkus. And I'll even prove it to you that it is considered really bad. Dama Rav, because Rav teaches us, Ilmole Nagdua Lechananya Mishova Azah, Yer Pochu Letzalma. If they had been threatened with makis, with getting beat up, to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's Avodah Zarah, right, they would have bowed down. The only reason why they didn't give in was because they were getting killed. So we see that they would rather have, they chose death over death, they were willing to do, but makis they weren't willing to do. So we see that makas would be worse. Makas they wouldn't be able to tolerate. That's the simple, I'm giving the very simple explanation in the Gemara. Of course, all the Rishonim talk about the fact that why, if it's, you know, this is a Yarg Val Yavar, why would they be mutter to do it? So Tosfos says a Chiddush, that Anachanami, it wasn't real Avodah Zarah, it was just Alts Kiddush Hashem. You don't have to endure Malkus for the sake of a Kiddush Hashem. But if it was a real Avodah Zarah, they would have had to endure it. That's Tosfos Shita. Other Rishonim argue on this. Alright, so anyway, the Gemara wants to say a very interesting svar over here, that maybe Makas is worth. worse than death. So Amar Le Rav Sama Bered Rav Asi Le Rav Ashi. So the first version is that he Rav Sama was the son of Rav Asi with the Samoch. He said to Rav Ashi, but Amri Lo. But there's another version is Rav Sama Bered Rav Ashi Le Rav Ashi, that maybe his father was Rav Ashi himself. He says to Rav Ashi, so you're telling me you want to bring a proof that Makkos is worse based on this story. He says, no. Over there, the problem, there was a different issue. There's a difference between what I'll call torture and Makkos. Makkos is, there's a set amount, so you have to endure an amount of pain, but it's a limited amount of pain. Whereas torture just could go on, you know, torture is torture for a reason. It just goes on. And over there, they were going to be punished in a way that would have been unbearable. It would have just gone on and on. So you can't bring me a raya that the Makkos was worse, that Makkos would have been worse. Because I'll agree with you that in that scenario, Makkos is taka worse. But regular Makkos, where there's a limited amount and it's controlled in a controlled environment in Bezdin and so on and so forth, that might not be worse than Misa, and therefore I could still believe that Misa is a worser punishment. So that kasha is not a good kasha. Okay, so I'll try another one. Maskef for Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Yaakov now minar pekoid. Rabbi Yaakov from Nar Pekoid asked the question. Eni chalarabonon to Amar Nefesh Mamish. See, this whole drasha was based, if you look back on Amar Aleph, they learned of the drasha because it says Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, right? It says Bim Osan Yiyav Nosata Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. And they darshan, right, those are the words in the Pasuk, that will give a nefesh. And the Rabbonon darshan nefesh mamish, that the Pasuk is coming to tell us that if she ends up dying, we literally do put them to death. Because the Pasuk says nefesh, and the word nefesh, tachas nefesh, means to put them to death. El Rebbe de Amar Momoin, but according to Rebbe, that argues on this whole drasha in the first place, that says the word nefesh over there in that Pasuk is anyway referring to money. It's not even referring to death. So de Amar Momoin, Mayikul Meimer, so this whole drasha falls apart. Because your whole proof was based on the fact that we were talking about a situation where the death penalty was involved. But that if you darshan the word nefesh tachas nefesh is actually just saying that you have to pay a monetary punishment, then there is no death penalty involved here at all. So it doesn't prove anything about whether the hasra was a good hasra. Okay, so therefore, Rav Acha says that cannot possibly be the drasha to prove that you're going to pick money over Malkus, because over here, once again, according to Rav Yaakov's drasha, nefesh means you were anyway going to pay money, regardless of what happened. If she died, you were going to pay money. If she lived, you were going to pay money. So there was no misa, there was no Malkus, there was only money. So you're back to your original problem, which is, you can't prove that money trumps Malkus if there's only money involved. So we have to have a different drasha. So, right? Because again, if you're only left with one punishment, then you're not showing that that punishment overrides a different punishment. There's only one. So, El Amar Rav Yaakov, Mina Harpakoid, Mishmei Derovo. So, he says, you're right, that drasha is not the right drasha at all. You want to prove your point? Prove it from here, Mehocha, from the following drasha. It says, Im Yaakov, Ve'ezhalach Bechutz, Al Mishantoi, Venika Hamaka. This is talking about where somebody hits somebody, and as a result, they get knocked into bed and they're critical. They might die. So the halacha is, you put the person who hit the instigator in jail to see what happens. If the person gets up and he gets healthy again, we let him out of jail. But if he doesn't get healthy, then we kill him. Okay, that's what it says. Because the pasuk says, if he gets up, then the nika hamaka, then you're clean. Then we can let him out of jail. Now, the chisala al daitcho shezem ahalch b'shuk v'zeh nerad. So you think that what we're discussing over here, that if he gets better, and we're gonna still kill the person who was put into jail. So what are we talking about? Amalame shechayv shenoy soy. So this is how the drasha falls out, comes out. Must be that we put him in jail to see what happens. The imayis katlinolay. Because if as a result of his hit, of what he did, the guy dies, then we're going to kill the person in jail. The iloy mayis shiftoy itein verape yirape. And if he does not die, if ultimately he does not die, then the instigator, the guy who hit him, he's going to have to pay the classic, you know, the monetary payments. He's going to have to pay doctor payments and loss of work and so on and so on and so forth. Okay, so that's what the pasuk is talking about. So here clearly we are discussing a death penalty case, because the point is you're keeping him in jail to find out whether or not you have to kill him. Okay, and on the flip side of that is money. So we skip. We go from death to money. We skipped somehow the makas in between. So let's discuss the case. Hey Chidami, what's the case? Idaloy Asrabe, once again. If we're talking about there's no Hasroi here at all, Amai Mikto. So then why does he deserve the death penalty? There's no Hasro. We never give anybody the death penalty without Hasro. El Pshita da Asrabe. I shouldn't say never, but almost never. So Pshita da Asrabe. Must be that we did give him Hasro. Oh, and once again, Musru ledavar chomer, musru ledavar akal. So we're going with that logic that the hasro that I warned him not to kill was for the death penalty was a hasro that includes makas also. And what did we say ultimately? And the end result is when he doesn't get killed, we don't say, oh, if you're not getting killed, we should give him makas. We don't say that. What we say is he doesn't get killed, even though makas is available, we're still going to give money. So Zaraya, that even in the context of makas, we're still going to give money payments. Okay, so that's what the pasuk that he wants to bring a raya from. So before we get to the end of this, the Gemara is going to ask similar kashas. Maskif la Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi asked, Mimai, first of all, the same question we asked before. Mimai de musru de davar chomer have a musru de davar akal. Who says just because I warned you for the most severe thing, that means I automatically gave you a hasra for the lesser things also? Maybe what I warned you for, I warned you for, and what I didn't warn you for, I didn't warn you for. I.e., maybe there is no hasra here for makas in the first place. So maybe there's no makas involved. And even if you want to tell me, okay, I'll agree to you that it includes the warning for makas, who says that the punishment of Misa is even worse than Makas? Then Makas Chomer, maybe getting Makas is even worse, and that should be the more severe warning. The Amar Rav, same Gemara as before, if they would have ended up hitting them and punishing them and torturing, they would have bowed down to the Avodah Zarah. So, right? So we see that maybe it's very possible. We see, but Hanani Mishova Azar considered Makas worse. So we see that maybe Makas is worse than Misa. So Amalei Rav Sama Bereder Rav Asi LeRav Ashi. So either Rav Sama, again, we don't know whether his name is Rav Asi, the son of Rav Avami, Rav Sama Bereder Rav Ashi LeRav Asi. Again, you can't bring me a proof from Hanani Mishal Azaria that they weren't willing to get tortured, because as we said, torture is worse than makas, and torture and Hanami is worse than death even. So therefore, you can't bring me a proof from the fact that they weren't willing to endure torture, because that's not the scenario over here. So once again, we end up in conclusion that Misa is definitely worse than your regular normal makas. Okay, so we don't have a proof that it doesn't include makas. It includes makas, but the warning for Misa is better. But then the Gemara asks a different question. Maskez lo Rav Mari says, Mimai debemezid v'nika mikatalo. You're assuming that the pasuk said, because you're, again, the pasuk doesn't say clearly, but the pasuk does say is that if the victim ends up walking back on his feet, we release the instigator, and we would have otherwise killed him. Who says that we were waiting in jail to see whether or not he was going to get killed? Mimai debemezid v'nika mikatalo. Dilma b'shoigeg v'nika migolos. Maybe the issue over here was that the pasuk is just saying we hold him in jail to see what happens, whether he's chayev golos or not. And if he's chayev golos, we're not killing anybody. So if we're not killing anybody, and in that case, we don't have to have asra. So it could be, right? Your whole premise is based on the fact that there was a death penalty involved. And since there's a death penalty, it must have been that there was asra. Who says that that's the case? All of this is based on assumptions. It must be that it must be, it could have been, or at least we don't know. Obviously, the Gemara is just asking this as a. It seems to be that is really the drasha, but it's possible to say the drasha is that we're talking about Golis, which doesn't have Hasra. And the Gemara says Kasha. Maybe that, maybe that is the drasha over here, possibly. And therefore, we don't have a proof that you gave Hasra for Misa, which would have also then, therefore, included the Hasra for Makas. And now you had the option of both Makas and money, and you chose the money. So, that's the proof that you want money over Makas. Maybe the whole scenario over here is without Hasra. And once again, without Hasra, there is no Makas. If there is no Makas, your only punishment available is money. And therefore, of course, we're going to give him the punishment of money because it's the only one available. Okay? So therefore, we don't have the proofs. Okay, that's the end of the sugya of both Ula and Rabbi Yochanan. And machlekes about whether or not you gave Hasra, to answer the contradiction in the Mishnah between the Mishnah in Masechtas Ksubas versus the Mishnah in Masechtas Makas. Then in Ksubas we say you pay money, and in Makas we say, you obviously it's in Makas, you give Malkas. Okay, so again we've been spending... But as we said before, we did have a contradiction between the Mishnah in Masechtas Ksubas and the Mishnah in Masechtas Makas. Here we say you pay money, you pay knas, and over there in Makas we say you give knas. So we gave two terutzim so far. One terutz was according to Ulo that Anachanami were talking about a scenario where there is no knas involved in Makas. We're talking about she's a bageris, or she's a yusayim mafuta, whatever you want to say the case is. But again, we're talking about a case where there is no money, so that's why Makas you get Makas. That's Ula's teretz, and Rabbi Yochanan's teretz is Anachanami. No, we're talking about that the reason why you get Knas over here was because there is no Makas, you didn't give Hasra, like we've been saying till now. Comes along the Gemara and gives Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish is a third answer to this contradiction. We're going back, all the way back to the original Kasha of the contradiction between Ksubas and Makas. And Reish Lakish is going to answer, which, by the way, is interesting, because we see all throughout Shas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish have Machlekes. But over here, we were so focused on the Ula and Rabbi Yochanan, you forget to look at this as a classic Machlekes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Okay, so Reish Lakish has a third teretz to this contradiction. Reish Lakish says, Hamani Reb Meirhi, which I love this teretz because it goes against everything we've been saying till now. It's going according to Shitas Reb Meir, to Omer, Loika Umashalim, what's the problem? You could do both. We've been assuming till now that you could only do, we've been in the sugya of Kam Leibed Rabba Mine, so we've been assuming that you can only do one. So the question was, which one? So Reb Meir says, I don't have a problem with that, I'll do both. I'll say, the guy brings you the menu and says, what do you want? And you say, yes. Right? So the Reb Meir says you do both. Makas and Mishali. So, the Gemara is, okay, that's his answer. Now, let's try to explain this. Reb Meir. So however, here we have some other issues. If we're going to, according to Shitas Reb Meir, that says you get both, Afilu Bito Inami. Happens to be one exception to this rule is if a father lives with his own daughter. Over there, we say you get punished with Makas, you don't pay Knas. You don't pay Knas. Okay, now, so according to Reb Meir, why not? According to Reb Meir, do you get both? Why not? V'chi tamer Reb Meir loiku mishalim islay mesu mishalim leslay. The problem is when it's his own daughter, he gets punished with death, and that's why, because it's not a kares issue over there. It's a mises bezdin issue. So he gets. And so even Reb Meir agrees that you're not going to get both punishments. He holds of the concept of kam lebi derabba mine, that we don't give both death and payment. Veloy, is that really true? Is that really Shitas Reb Meir? I'll prove to you that Reb Meir holds, even in the context of death, you're still going to pay. But Tanya, we learned in a brisa like this. Goinav v'tovach b'shabbos. This is, of course, the sugya of the Dalet v'hei, which is if a person steals a sheep or a cow, or an ox, rather, not a cow, an ox, and then eventually he either shechts it or he sells it, so and then he gets caught. So the halacha is that he has to pay Dalet v'hei. Okay, now, what if he does all of this stuff on Shabbos? So now we added another element because there's a death penalty involved because of the halacha of Shabbos. So, let's read the brayso. Tanya, we learned in the brayso. Gona b'tavach b'Shabbos. He stole and he shechted on Shabbos itself. Gona b'tavach la'avoides kochavim. Or a similar type of issue where he stole and shechted an animal belong for the sake of avodah zarah. He shechted it for the avodah zarah, which again is also a chiyuv misa. He did avodah zarah. Or gonav shor haniskal v'tavchoy. or he stole an ox that itself was already chayev miso. The ox itself was chayev skilo. It's, let's say, a shor muad that killed somebody. So it's chayev skilo. And then you shechted it, which again means that the shechita was done on an animal that is also. The Gemara is going to ask that case a little bit different. Anyway, so the halacha ultimately is, mishalim tashlumei arba v'chamisha, divrei Reb Meir. Reb Meir over there says that you are going to have to pay the dal v'hei. You're going to have to pay the four or five times. Now, in that case, in each one of those three cases, there was the death penalty involved, because either was Shabbos, it was Avodah Zarah, or Shor Niskal we'll talk about. But each one of those cases were involved the Chiyuv Miso. The Chacham and Patron. And the Chacham say, no, you're not chayav to pay. Oh, so we see that Reb Meir holds, even in a scenario where there's a death penalty involved, you still have to pay, which begs the question, so how come when a father lives with his daughter, he doesn't have to pay the knas? Yes, I understand he's going to get punished with Misa. But according to Reb Meir, we don't apply the concept of kam lebe d'rabbi mine. At least, that's what it seems that the halacha is here. So we don't apply the concept of kam lebe d'rabbi mine. So therefore, according to Reb Meir, you should have to pay knas even to his own daughter. So the Gemara answers, Ha'itmar Allah, Amr Rav Yaakov, Amr Rav Yochanan, Amr Rav Yirmiyah, Amr Rav Yirmiyah, Amr Rav Shimon ben Lakish, Rav Abin v'Rav Eloi. Okay, so they all said about the following. Rav Abin and Rav Eloi, V'chol Chavrusa and Chavurta and the whole group of people, Mishmei the Rav Yochanan, Amri. All of them say this in the name of Rav Yochanan. They give the following teretz. They say, "B'toyveach al yedei acher." Now, this is interesting because remember, as I just pointed out, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argue. They're the bar machloikis over here, and Rabbi Yochanan, they're answering Reish Lakish's shita, his stance. Rabbi Yochanan is answering on behalf of Reish Lakish. So he says, they say the case is "B'toyveach al yedei acher." That the case is that it's not the individual himself that did the shita, but rather he hired a shliach to do the shechita, which means that he did not incur the actual misa itself. And therefore, Enachanami, if there's misa and mamon, you wouldn't punish both. In this case, the reason why he's making the payment of money is because he's actually not being, he's not going to be punished with the misa, because he did not do the shechita. He did it through a shliach. So the Gemara says, one second. That can't be the teretz. This is a general problem over here. The chizeh choyte v'zeh mischayev. We always know ein shliach l'dvar aveira. That's a famous concept. It's never why would he be chayev anything if somebody else did the shechita? If that's your case over here, why I told you to do something else, or why would I be chayev? So Amar Rava, Amar Rachmana, because he says over here it's a special case. V'tavchay oy machray, because the pasuk itself puts the shechita together with the case of selling the animal. And ma mechira al yedei acher, in order to sell something, you always need a third party. You can't sell to yourself. That's not a sale. So there has to be a third party. Ap tmicha al yedei acher. So it's a special drosh over here that the shechita in this scenario, even though it's not really normal, that you should normally, we don't say ein shliach, we normally do say ein shliach l'dvar aveira. Over here, the Torah itself says, no, you can involve a third party and still be chayiv. Okay? So anyway, so it comes out in conclusion that the reason why Reb Meir holds that over here you're chayiv is because, by bito you're potter rather, is because there's a mitzvah involved. And even Reb Meir, who says by the case of the shechita over there, it's because the person himself who stole it wasn't the one who did the shechita. So therefore he's only chayiv to make the money payments. He didn't actually, he wasn't mechalel Shabbos. He got someone else to do it. Devei Reb Yishmol Tana. So one drasha was because we compared the mechira to the tficha. Tevei Rabbi Yishmol Tana, he learns a different drasha. Oy, l'rabbis is a shliach. Again, it's a pasuk, it says oy. It says v'tavchoy oy machroy. So the word oy is coming to us that you're including a shliach. That's another drasha. Tevei Chizkiyah Tana, tachas, l'rabbis is a shliach. Okay. So there's an extra word, tachas, which again tells us that a third party can be mechayev you in this case. In any event, however you're going to darshan, it's a special drasha over here by Geneva that you're going to be chayev through a shliach. And once you're using a shliach, that means that the person himself wasn't chayev miso, because the shliach was the one who did the aveira that's mechayev miso. So you're only left with a payment. Okay. So now, so what you're telling me is like this. The reason why I'm chayev to pay is because I'm not chayev miso, because someone else did the act that was mechayev miso. So it comes out that had I done it myself, I'd be potter. But now that I had a shliach do it, all of a sudden that makes me chayev? How could that be? How could a shliach make me more chayev than what I would have done had I done it myself? Excuse me. So the Gemara says, if I had done it myself, I would not be chayev to pay because I would have the exemption of kam lebe de rabbi minei. V'ovad shliach u'mechayev ihu. And now all of a sudden the shliach does, so now I do become chayev. Lav mishum u'mechayev ihu. Okay, fine. U'mechayev, now that the comma goes after the word mechayev. So now that the shliach did, I could become chayev. So that logic doesn't make any sense. So the Gemara says, no, no, no. It's not pshat. You're assuming that if I had kam lebe de rabbi minei means, this is the havamin of the Gemara, that kam lebe de rabbi minei means that the other punishment is non-existent. And that's not true. The other punishment, you lav mishum deloy mechayev. It's not pshat that it's not chayev to pay. Of course it's chayev to pay. Elam ishum to come lebe de rabbi minei. It's because Bezdin can only punish one of the two. Really, he is chayev in both. It's not pshat that when I do it, I'm not chayev, but when you do it, I become chayev. That doesn't make any sense. Really, I'm chayev. It's just that I had an exemption. I got an abatement of the payment because I was getting a more severe punishment. But it was not pshat that I was chayev all along. I'm chayev whether you do it, I'm chayev whether you do it. I just don't have to come out of pocket because I have this quirk that there's a kam lebe de rabbi minei. But I am chayev. And therefore, when the shliach does it, of course, my chiyev is in place. And that's why I'm chayev to pay. Okay, now, so we'll just do one more line over here. My time I had the rabbanon de patri. So one second. So now you're telling me the whole case is based on the fact that someone else did the shechita. So then if someone else did the shechita, so then what's the reason to make him patri? Why would the rabbanon hold that you're patri? You don't even have to pay. Why not? Why aren't you paying? So the Gemara says, and we're going to finish with this line, man chachama, who is the shitas chachama that say you don't have to pay, is right now, we're just going to read the top line on daf lamed dalet amud aleph, Reb Shimon hi, da amar shchita she'enu ru'uya loy shmei shchita. Okay, so we'll stop with this line. What that means is chachamim are unique shita that according to Reb Shimon, that holds in general, that if any time I shecht and it turns out not to be a kosher shchita, that makes it as if I didn't shecht at all. Okay, this is a shita. This is shita's Reb Shimon. It comes up a lot in Zvachim and Menachos. No, so it happens to be. So if I do, for example, the classic example is I do shchut echutz. I take kachim and I'm supposed to shecht in the Beis Hamikdash and I shecht it outside of the Beis Hamikdash. So I did the same exact act. I shechted it outside. Turns out that the behemah is a trefa. So it wasn't a kosher shchita by accident. Nothing to do with the guy who did the shchita. Turns out. So according to Reb Shimon, you're potter. That's not a shchut echutz. Because it has to be, according to Reb Shimon, it has to be a kosher shechita. Yeah. So therefore, and as we're going to say, this is what we're going to continue next time, but we're stopping in the middle of this concept. But the Gemara wants to take it on its face that according to Reb Shimon, since you did it on Shabbos, or it's Avodah Zorah, that's an easy one to understand, that it's Avodah Zorah, so therefore it's not going to be a kosher animal. So therefore, that's not a proper shechita. So that's why it's not a proper shechita, so I can't be chayav dalad v'hei. I'm only chayav dalad v'hei if I did exactly what the Torah told me not to do. I stole and I shechted. But if the shechita is not a shechita, then I didn't shecht. So if I didn't shecht, then I can't be chayav dalad v'hei. That's the case over here. So that's why the Rabbanan say, Yepater, again, for a very technical reason, because it's not a proper shechita. Yeah. Exactly. Well, listen, I could do a lot of other things. I could chop the animal in half. Chopping the animal in half also is not mechayev midal v'hei. Everybody agrees to that. It's only because the Torah specifically said I had to sell it or shecht it. I had to do something very, very specific with it. I didn't do that. According to Reb Shimon, this also is considered not shechting. Okay, so that's why I'm not chayev. Anyway, so it comes out at the maskara of the Gemara over here, at least according to Shitas Reb Meir, really you are chayev, makas, and to pay, and therefore there's no contradiction at all between the two Mishnayos. That's the main thing to take out of this. There's no contradiction. In our Mishnah, it just discusses the knas, and the Mishnah makas discusses the makas, but you really have to do both. Aye, what about Bitoy? Bitoy is a different case because there's a Misa involved and Enachanami, even Reb Meir agrees, there's no Misa Mishalim. So therefore, this is Shitas Reb Meir, these Mishnayos are Shitas Reb Meir, that's why you're gonna have to pay. So we'll stop over here.